Welcome to the Your Drama Just Wait podcast, where we have meaningful discussions on the challenges in healthcare and the solutions behind them. I'm your host, Liz Church. Not too long ago, I interviewed Katrina Knight and Liz Carbone of Good Shepherd, speaking about the good work that they do to combat homelessness and provide services to the community in Wilmington, North Carolina. We talked about the NIMBY mentality, not in my backyard, defining what it means, and the pushback Good Shepherd received when trying to implement permanent supportive housing. We're going to be doing something a little different this time, speaking to a member of the community who supports the permanent supportive housing efforts being done by Good Shepherd. Craig Snow is a member of the Wilmington community, famously known for his witty and personable nature. He is a prominent supporter of many organizations throughout the area that seek to improve the lives of those in Wilmington. You may have seen him dressed in drag or riding a tricycle in a race to raise awareness and funds for local organizations. Or you may know him from the Greater Wilmington Business Journal, where he serves as their senior account executive, helping businesses in the community over the last 15 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Craig, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I greatly appreciate the time you're taking to speak with me today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Liz.
So, Craig, you're a pillar of this community. You know, you're known for your big personality and witty nature. Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself, and are you originally from Wilmington?
Well, you say big personality. It may be just because I'm loud. I'm loud in most places I'm in. I'm not from Wilmington originally. I was born in Arkansas. I'm the baby of seven from a old school farm family where you were self-sustaining and you went to town down the gravel road on Saturday to buy coffee and flour and sugar because you raised everything else yourself. I went to college in Northeastern Arkansas. I was a theater major because I'd done tons of drama productions in high school and actually went on to graduate school for theater and scenic and lighting design, but kind of had a change of heart about where I kind of saw myself heading and took a leave of absence that I still haven't gone back. And that was about 40 years ago. I got moved to where one of my sisters had a couch I could crash on and got a job waiting tables. At the time, the guys that owned the restaurants had, I think, three locations. And when I left 12 years later, we had 26 locations. And I was running five of them, I believe. So hard and fast, rise to the top with a great group of people. When you're in that business, you know, you work hard, but you play hard. I met my wife while working in the restaurant business together. We got married and our first son was born when I was just about the time that I was becoming an area director and moving back to Memphis where we had met. And that's where we were for the next several years. And then, I guess when I was about 35, I decided to get out of the restaurant business and moved into another management role in Memphis. And then we ended up moving to Wilmington in 2003. My son was in first grade, I believe. My brother-in-law had bought a sailboat and moved to Wilmington. And we came here on vacation a couple of times and my wife turned the screws on me pretty hard and said, we're going to move to the beach. And we did. And it's been really great. We moved here from Memphis about 8 months later. My in-laws followed us because we took their only grandchild away from them. So my wife's entire family has lived in Wilmington ever since. When we first moved here, I worked for Auto Trader, and all their many publications, Cycle Trader, Boat Trader, Truck Trader, Heavy Equipment Trader. So that was kind of my first foray into sales. I found that when I moved to Wilmington in that time period, management jobs weren't paying nearly what I was accustomed to in Memphis. So I made the switch to sales. I'm really glad I did. It's really been a fit for my personality. In 2009, speaking to my mother-in-law again, she sent me an email that a friend of hers forwarded her, and said the Business Journal was looking for sales executives and I got hired there and I've been here ever since. So, you know, this company has grown like crazy from just a couple of little print publications to a pretty vast digital capabilities and many multiple events a year and it's been great for me. So that's how we got to today.
I love it. It's fantastic. And you have a lot of things happening this year. It's a big year for you. A lot of anniversary dates. This is your 15th year.
So I turned 60 this year and in May, and my 30th wedding anniversary is in September, and my 15th work anniversary is in October. So I've been married for half my life, and I've worked at the Business Journal for half of my marriage. So there you go.
Here we
it's
go.
Kind of odd how those numbers turned out. So yeah.
They're pretty even in numbers, like
Yeah.
in quantities,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
it's fantastic. So, you know, in your personal and professional life, you work tirelessly to support organizations throughout Wilmington. That's something that you're known for, you know, whether they're profit, for-profit, or nonprofit. What drives you to do this?
Well, I think there's just truth to the fact that, you know, what you put out there kind of comes back to you in one way. People call it karma. People call it doing the right thing, whatever you want to. I was raised in a small community where, you know, people were supportive of each other and depended on each other. My parents were active, you know, in 4-H and helping with things at school and just engaged that way. So I saw it from a young age. And when I started the Business Journal, that started getting me more immersed in the local business community. So I started meeting a whole lot more people, started learning about, you know, community-based organizations. And then when I was in Leadership Wilmington, you know, there's a full day focused on learning about nonprofits. And, you know, of course, there's days where you learn about infrastructure and municipalities and all the different things that kind of keep a community running. But that kind of was eye-opening to hear about, you know, a number of nonprofits. And in Leadership Wilmington, each person takes on a project. And because when my mother-in-law moved here in 2004, she was immediately involved in the Cape Fear Literacy Council. And I got to know Yasmin Tompkinson, the executive director, who was at that time just a volunteer at the Literacy Council. Because of my connections through them, I chose the Literacy Council as my Work on Wilmington project and got to know the team there, got to know the then executive director, Linda Litvinenko. And a couple of months after that, she recruited me to join their board, and I did. And so that was kind of my initial immersion into the nonprofit world. But then I've just done a lot of volunteer things. I serve on the United Way campaign cabinet. You know, you mentioned somewhere in there about, dressing in drag. So I tell people, you know, once every couple of years, I'll dress in drag to support a nonprofit. I'm a pretty tragic looking, Dolly Parton. I'll try to find you some visuals at some point, but it, you know, like the Carousel Center does a big show. But anyway, I've just tried to get engaged and do little things, you know, go serve food at Good Shepherd Center, you know, pack, boxes of food at the food bank or Nourish NC. Just try to get involved. And, you know, what you find when you do those things is you enjoy your time with other humans doing something good. In the for-profit world, you know, that's kind of in my wheelhouse for my work. I spend a lot of time trying to help people get connected to other folks that to help grow their network and expand their business reach. And so it just kind of comes natural to me, and it just seems like the right thing to do. You know, that I will say my parents certainly instilled in me, you know, just do the right thing, basically. So anyway, that's how I would see it.
I really love that full answer. It kind of goes into a lot of different things, talking about human compassion, treating others as you would want to be treated, getting back to what it means to be human, to help each other.
Yep.
And
that's right.
You know, in a time where I feel like we are very divided, when you do volunteer work and when you help a plethora of organizations. You named a couple that you know, they do things for the community, but they do different things for the community. So you're not focused on necessarily just one thing.
That's right. Well, it's certainly, I am, there are so many people in this community that work tirelessly. I just try to, you know, spend some time doing something good, you know, on some kind of regular basis. I'm not volunteering every week or anything like mm-hmm. that. I just try to get out there and get engaged once in a while, and it helps you keep your awareness up. It's humbling to see people that, you know, are so grateful for your help. You know, if you're serving meals at Good Shepherd Center, and it just helps you realize, you know, you know, do the right thing, try to give back. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it.
So. I think that's the right way to say it, actually.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it. So, I mean, getting to Good Shepherd, you've been a vocal supporter of Good Shepherd, you know, particularly the permanent housing complex that's nearby where you live. What has it like been living near this complex? Have you had any concerns? Have you had any?
I think I'll give you a case study, or I'll just share our personal experiences. So we moved to Westlake Shore Drive in 2017. We are we're a block away from SECU Lakeside Reserve, you know, Good Shepherd's Lakeside Reserve, you know, where they house chronically homeless folks permanently. And it's a, you know, it's a beautiful campus. I didn't, you know, I wasn't concerned when, you know, we saw it when we were looking at the area, but it just didn't seem like something that concerned me. I know people get worked up about those kind of things. So we moved down there in 2017, and just kind of my interesting story is shortly after we moved into the house, there's a little, around Greenfield Lake, there are little public parking spaces with like little fishing docks that people can go fish or, you know, park if they're riding their bikes or kayaking or whatever. And not long after we moved there, there started being a white panel van. So if you want to really get, you know, like, oh my, a white panel van started parking there off, you know, on and off odd hours of the day and then sometimes overnight. And, you know, my wife was obviously concerned with good reason, you know, because they literally could see in our kitchen windows from where this van was parked right across the street. And she was concerned that area of town is really coming along, but there, you know, there were some sketchy things in the neighborhood at different times. But anyway, I just eventually one day just walked over there. This gentleman named Don would literally sleep in his van over there, but he would also go sit out on the fishing dock. And so I just kind of got to know Don a little bit, would go talk to him, and over time just assured my wife that I felt confident that Don was harmless. And, you know, after a while, Don, you know, was able to, you know, go from his panel van to get him a white pickup truck that had a little exhaust system package on it where it made some noise and you can hear him playing his music. Well, anyway, I didn't know Don's real story. I knew I think he was a veteran, and he clearly, you know, came on hard times for one reason or another, but anyway, Don was a fixture of our neighborhood for years. And I guess it was, you know, a couple of Christmases ago, I wondered where Don was, and I hadn't seen him. So I was walking by, Good Shepherd's Lakeside Reserve there one day, and just happened to see someone that I thought was one of their leaders or counselors out there. So I pulled up or walked up and spoke to her, and Don had passed away. Mm-hmm. But it's like we missed him, you know, like he was, and I didn't know for the first several years that Don even lived at Lakeside Reserve. He was just so independent that he would often rather sleep in his truck or his van than, you know, sleep in a bed in the facility. He was just a unique bird. But anyway, we've lived there now for 7 years, and we've never had a single incident with any of the community members. It's an extremely professionally run organization. They have counselors and staff on site all the time. I'm proud to be one of their neighbors because I know they are doing the right thing to help people that truly need it and don't have other alternatives. I'm just a big advocate for them because I believe in them. Another Good Shepherd story, I had a friend of mine that was very successful and hit on hard times. And this guy, you know, this guy was a, he made good money. He had a great career, and he just kind of went through a tough stretch and kind of spiraled and ended up staying at the Eugene Ashley Center because he had to transition back into real life. And I would go over there, and it was just so well run. The staff were kind. The residents were well fed, and that's just a transitional place for people to get back on their feet. So then I volunteered at the Good Shepherd, just serving meals on occasion, and just without question, it's just such a well run organization. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge advocate for Katrina and her team. Just do one hell of a job.
Oh, once they hear this, they'll definitely know for sure that how much we love, that we both love them, Andromedas and Craig Snow. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. We love Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm a big advocate, and I'm proud to tell anybody about my experiences with the organization.
Well, then, we're talking about the staff besides, Katrina Knight and Liz Carbone, what are some ways that you've seen Good Shepherd actively engage with the neighborhood to support the residents?
Well, I just know that at that facility that they, the residents have some freedom. They're able to, leave the property and walk along the lake or, go fishing or walk their dog or whatever. But we have just never had a single situation where there was any concern about any of the residents. It's just so well run and so well managed and so well cared for. It's just, I don't have any concerns living there, honestly.
In your opinion, what role do neighbors play in supporting the success and the integration of the supportive housing in the community?
I would just say, don't prejudge the situation. Mm-hmm. Don't be fearful of having, some kind of, affordable housing or transitional housing come into your area. Get to know the organization first. Find out what they're about. We certainly, when we saw that the place was near the house that we were going to buy, we wondered about it, but we just didn't really worry about it. Mm-hmm. And so I would say I think people are fearful before they really get all the information and learn about what this facility, or if it's apartments, or learn more about the organization and their mission before you worry about what you might be up against. And I think people are just fearful because they feel like it's going to change their property values or their it's going to threaten their safety or security. And I would just say educate yourself is what I would do. A lot of folks get worked up before they really study the situation.
Yeah. And this is something that we talked about. We, Liz Carbone and Katrina Knight and I, in our episodes, we talked about the NIMBY mentality, the not in my backyard mentality.
Right. Well, I'm happy to have Good Shepherd in my backyard. Yeah. Because the place that was there before was just a rundown old vacant place. And
yeah.
So, in that particular area, we've got the Wilmington Sharks ballpark right behind, the Good Shepherd, Lakeside Reserve. We've got Greenfield Lake Amphitheater. There's just, we are a unique and diverse little, neighborhood and, folks, from all backgrounds walking around the lake. So I just think it adds, it actually having that facility there just adds to the stability of the area, mm-hmm. honestly. Yeah. So,
well, as the person that is all for it, as communities across the country strive to resolve the homelessness crisis, what advice do you have for those who are part of that, not in my backyard movement?
I would, that's a tough one. I think education and awareness, when it comes to learning about anything that someone is fearful or concerned about, education, awareness, get to know the organization, get to know the company that might be, managing a property that's looking to come into your area. and inquire from people that live in areas where that are neighbors to these kind of communities. I just think so often we react before we educate ourselves in situations like this. And I, you know, this is a great challenge that's going to face us, you know, forever at some level. Mm-hmm. But people have to start, you know, working to figure it out, because, you know, whether it's, you know, workforce housing or affordable housing or, you know, chronically homeless or whatever, we all have to work toward a solution, or it's going to be a problem forever. Mm-hmm. So I would say just be open to having conversations, be open to educating yourself, and don't presume that, you know, things are going to go south quickly if you know, have an organization like that's, you know, considering your area.
Yeah. And I mean, I think with anything that comes, that's a social problem, educating yourself and removing that stigma really matters as well, because I can't tell you how many times, and I talked about this with the Good Shepherd episodes, that people just automatically believe that if someone's homeless, it's, you know, it's their fault and we have to treat them poorly because of it, or there's some kind of judgment there. And I feel like having the education and putting yourself in a judgment-free zone, it's a starting point to get everybody involved in the solution.
Sure. Yeah. And communities of all sizes are faced with these challenges. Mm-hmm. So I would say come to the table and with, you know, open ears and open mind and be willing to learn and figure out if there's ways, you know, you can help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Find ways to help. So, you know, to close out everything, now, while what you just said is definitely a call to action, I kind of want to change it up a little bit to close out the discussion. What's one meaningful, lasting message, a call to action that you would like to leave the listeners with?
Be open to learning about neighbors like Dawn. Even though at first you're frightened because Dawn's in a panel van parked across the street from your house, go introduce yourself and be open to at least learning about a situation. I sound like I'm repeating myself, but I think it's just being a matter of trying to be kind and to be open to understanding people and challenges.
I think that's, I mean, you might feel like you're repeating yourself, but I feel like sometimes you need that reiteration of be kind, be compassionate, and approach with curiosity. So
yeah, there, you said it better than I did. I'm just rambling. You provided clarity. I'm getting anxious about how I'm going to sound and or what I've said, and you just spelled it out perfectly, just as you did.
There are no ramblings. Well, sometimes there can be, but no, we're just, I'm solidifying your words. I'm taking in what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I greatly appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. As always, I loved talking with you.
You bet. I appreciate it so much. I don't know that I made much sense, but I'm happy. And, you know, you said a lot of nice things about, I'm no spectacular individual. I'm just out here, you know, trying to be nice to folks and, you know, do the next right thing most days. So.
Well, hey, you know, you're trying. There's a whole lot of folks out there that are all bark, no action. You're out there doing something, my dear. All right. Catch you later, Craig. And once again, Craig, thank you so much for joining me on our newest segment. I hope we can hear more voices of supporters and advocates in our communities in further episodes. The Andromeda's Way is produced by me, Liz Church. Editorial assistance for this episode was by Michelle Gady of Andromeda's. We're a boutique consulting firm with the imperative mission of creating healthier, more resilient, more equitable communities. I encourage all of you to reach out and get to know us. We're a growing team. We've added 4 new members to our team, and I want you to meet them all. And soon, you will on this very podcast. You can listen to all of our previous episodes on our website, andromedasconsulting.com/andromedas-way. We can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next time.